Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Hail Mary. individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. We have a steamy show today, Dan.
A steamer of a show?
A hot show. A hot and steamy show. There's not a lot of stories out there that are shocking these days.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, though, that it's 2020, and when I wake up, I should expect to see something shocking. But somehow, even in the middle of September, I still refuse to believe that I will be shocked every day. And I was shocked today, Dan.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
It's not often that you read one of the biggest superstars in the NFL, perhaps one of the greatest wide receivers in the NFL, mm-hmm. is into... what would you call that? It's
he's into scatological sex.
There we go.
I suppose.
There we go. I needed a medical term to put with this.
Mm-hmm. He likes to get shit on.
There it is.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't even. That's pretty fucked up. But that's not even the weirdest part of it. The weirdest part was where he told the girl not to shower for 24 hours and be ready to shit on him.
Yeah, man.
And she sent him a video of her taking a shit first. That was
part of the whole interaction. So if you don't know Odell Beckham Jr., he's the guy with blonde hair in the NFL who caught the ball with one hand and became a superstar overnight, essentially because of that. He is a nightmare to deal with on the football field, and off the football field as well. Guy's kind of a weird asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting, though, that in his personal life, he liked to get shit on. So to kind of give you a recap of what happened here, if you haven't heard the story, a girl goes on to, the No Jumper podcast and does an interview saying, yeah, man, I hooked up with Odell Beckham Jr. And first of all, he asked me to send him videos of myself taking a shit.
Yeah.
Great follow-up question by the women. They asked, how do you do that? And I had the same, you know, I had the same thought too. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, well, you got to go underneath. But she goes, I tried to make it look sexy. First of all, I believe this woman. I believe all women, including Tara Reid, Joe Biden. And I think we should all believe all women, but I'm kidding. But with this story, she just sounded like it was another day at the JOB for her, and it sounded pretty genuine. Didn't want anything in return from it.
Yeah.
But she described taking a video of herself shitting, mm-hmm. And making it look sexy, which is virtually impossible. Now, Dan, you were in the military.
I'm not sure how that's relevant.
I'll tell you exactly how it's relevant. You guys tend to take a lot of shitting videos and send them out a lot.
I've not once in my entire life taken or received a video of someone else shitting.
Really?
Not once.
Can I say who it is? Because I believe you were CC'd on that last one.
I'm sure, like, a lot of dudes like will answer the phone while they're taking a shit, even if it's FaceTime. That's true.
But can I say who sent the shitting video?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Come on.
I really don't.
He's probably on this set somewhere. If you had to pick one person on this set, it's not Chevy Chase.
No, it would definitely be Ray Kerr. He's a fucking shitbag, that guy.
I've seen him taking a shit. I think at this point I've seen everybody, Jared, Matt, everybody taking a shit. And the first one was surprising where I was like, oh, all right, cool. But then how do you get that angle in there? First of all, I enjoy my time on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I have no desire to take a video of that and try to make it look cool on top of it. So I have a hard time imagining Homegirl was able to make this video look cool. But she did it, and apparently the video was good enough where Odell Beckham Jr. was like, hey, let me book you a flight right quick. I'm going to need you to shit on my chest and not wash your pussy. He specifically said, do not shower, because I want that thing heated up, which is an interesting – that's a weird kink. I've not heard of that one yet.
No.
That's a new one for me, which, look, it's hard to get new kinks by me. Now, I've had some friends, and it's some super fucked up shit. I don't know if I discussed it on this show. I might have discussed it on another one. One of my best friends had a fetish for homeless.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to, like, clean a homeless girl up.
Correct. And like, give her food and do the whole thing and then have sex with her and make her pretty again and then and then tell her to leave, which obviously probably ruined her life even more. But that was his kink. Was it weird? Yes. Do you know where the homeless people are? No, you don't. And that's a little dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to make that dream come true.
I mean, I don't know if you're going to get a charity spinoff from that or not. But
sure, the only other one I read about that I'd known in this realm was one of my favorite rock doc books was The Dirt by Motley Crue. It is the best rock fucking biography you will ever read. And I've read all of them at this point. I've read every single one. It's my favorite genre of books, right? And they talked about in the early days of Motley Crue, how they picked a homeless girl up and fucked her in this closet.
Wow.
And then took her clothes and then threw her out of the house.
That's the behavior of a sociopath.
Yeah, that's what they did. But they were crazy as shit. And it was Motley Crue, so nobody gave a fuck. When I read that in that book, I was like, oh, all right. Well, shit.
I'm guessing they're
horrible humans.
I'm guessing there's a reason they didn't put that in the movie.
You know what? I think it might have been in there. I'd have to go back and watch it. I was not that big of a fan of the movie, per se. But the book was lights out. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it needed a bigger budget. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But I thought some of the performances were all right. I think it needed a bigger budget. Either way, I hadn't read a fucked up sex story like that in a while. And then when we walked into the office today, we asked our producer, Giorgio, if he's ever been shit on. And are you mic'd up, Giorgio?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're there. You have, right? Somebody has shit on you, correct?
Yeah, I had a bulimic ex-girlfriend who had taken laxatives one day, and as she was coming, she just kind of let it all go.
No way.
Mm.
Oh, boy. So bulimia, you take laxatives for that shit? You're not just throwing up all day?
One or the other. I mean, I think once you get to one stage, you just try to purge any way possible.
Yeesh. I tell you what, man. In this life, the one thing I don't want to do is just keep shitting all day.
No, I've got things to do.
Yeah. It's too much time. And your asshole is sore afterwards. Now, the interesting part about this girl was, obviously, they pressed on. And they said, hey, once you got there, did you shit on Odell Beckham Jr.?
Mm.
And she said, no, I tried my hardest. I just couldn't go.
Right.
But she goes, I definitely gave it my all. Like I tried to, and I failed to shit on him. So
maybe she'll get a Taco Bell sponsorship at some point.
Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? Although they just took that Mexican pizza off the menu. That would have done it, you know, or that 7-layer burrito's gone too.
Yeah, that was the big one. I think they really made you dump out.
Man, if you're into that, what's weird is like, he's like a pretty boy. He's like a clean dude.
Right.
It's the ones you least expect, man. Who want to be dumped out on and have a dirty pussy.
Well, I mean, does R. Kelly look like the kind of guy that would pee on people?
Yes. As soon as I heard that story, I was like, yes, dude, R. Kelly looks like a guy that would piss on
people. Well, as soon as I heard this about Odell Beckham, I was not surprised at all.
Really?
No.
I was, man. I was surprised by that. If anything, I would have thought he was gay, to be real.
He might be.
No, he's not. Look, she went into graphic detail about the story. Like, you know, I have a hard time imagining if you're asking girls to go through that much trouble, like you're just going to get a dude at that point. So
I think it's definitely the girl shitting on him that he was into. And that's kind of something that he wanted shored up before she got there. Because obviously he wants to see the video of it before he approved that flight to get her out there.
I'm surprised this story isn't on ESPN today. I feel like they really missed the boat on this one. It's a pretty big story.
It is. The fact that...
uncorroborated, obviously, but...
Well, I watched the interview. It just seemed off the cuff. Like, so it didn't seem like it was, you know, she was there for an axe to grind and she didn't want anything. It seemed real. It reminded me when Tiana Trump was on our show and she talked about letting somebody take shit in her mouth for $50,000.
Yep.
And then she told that Bill Maher sex story.
Yep.
What I didn't realize is, do you know that thing has like 250,000 downloads?
It's got 270 as of last night.
No way.
Yeah, it's it's Bill Maher's name and Trump and the same thing, and people are going to it. I've read like hundreds of the comments yesterday, and they were hilarious. They're like, "Who are these assholes? These people are disgusting." Blah blah blah. I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, look, we were just asking questions." we're not the ones getting our mouths shat into, but
I don't read any comments on. I try not to.
I read them
on YouTube. I
like the hate comments the most. They make like if it's a really good one, it's funny, and if it's a really shocking one, like people were genuinely shocked. They came and expected they were probably fans of Bill Maher, and they ended up on this show, listening to a porn star talk about getting. Are having sex with Bill Maher, right? And it was funny. The comments are funny. There's a lot of fucking weird virtue signaling in there. Like, oh, they're fucking... Like, when you made a comment about him only fucking her in the guest house, like, oh, that's like slave shit. And the point of that comment was that Bill Maher said a bunch of racist shit over
correct,
there.
Yeah.
But he also has this proclivity for black women. And it's not secret anymore. Everybody knows now, but back in the day, it used to be like kind of a thing with him that he liked... Primarily, he likes black women, right?
Yeah, still to this day. But that comment in particular was based on his statement that he got almost fired for from HBO, where he said if slavery was going on, he was like, oh, no, I'm a house N-word. Yeah. And that he's, you know, would sleep in the main house. That was the crux of that joke.
Yeah.
And the fact that he fucked her in the guest house would clearly meant he was in the master's quarters upstairs. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny, man. You talk to people like that, and with Tiana Trump, that's the perfect example for this. I mean, look, we've done I don't know close to 800 shows on here on Drinking Bros, and with her in particular, it was the same way. It was so matter of fact that you know she wasn't lying. And when she was talking about that gay NBA player, like, you know, she wasn't lying. I heard a shocking one too about a NFL player that was gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And big, big name, by the way. All I'll say is this. First round fantasy draft choice in fantasy football. I actually wasn't surprised by it, but this person who found out was. And I was like, all right, cool. So all I'll say is if you're a big fantasy football guy, one of your first round picks is a gay man in the NFL, and he's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. It'd be interesting, though, if he came out and just said, hey, I'm gay.
Is it Ezekiel Elliott with his crop tops?
Boy, how did you... I cannot confirm nor deny that.
So
what made you pick that name?
Because he wears crop tops.
That's it?
Yeah. And his... well, I mean, look, we've talked about this before. It was kind of a... There's a study done a few years back at Stanford, and then it was actually... That was a replication of a previous study that showed that 83% of people can identify a gay man just by looking at his face.
Really?
Yep.
Look, I've met him before. We shit at the Cowboys game. We got pictures with him. I don't know. He's one of those weird guys to me that is just weird. Like, you ever meet people and they're just weird and you're like, I have no idea. You could tell me anything about this dude and I'd be like, all right, cool, man.
Yeah.
There's just something a little off.
I'm sure it's tough. And if you're an athlete or even in the black community, there's a lot of homophobia still, but it would be pretty important. It would be pretty significant for somebody like that to come out and live an openly gay lifestyle.
Yes, if that rumor is true.
If it's true, yeah. Who the fuck knows or cares? Yeah. I don't give a shit.
But I don't either.
Henry Rollins used to talk about this back in the day. Like, if you're out there and you're gay and you're rich and famous and people can't really do anything to you, like, maybe... It's definitely a super personal choice to do something like that, but you also have a responsibility. Like, gay kids are getting kicked out of their house and killing themselves all the time. Maybe. Yeah.
Is Henry Rollins out yet?
I don't think he's gay. I think he's probably bisexual, but I don't think he's straight up gay.
Huh. I've worked with him. I did a movie with him for 3 months.
I'm sure. I could see him being bisexual, or at least experimental. Odell Beckham, by the way, hasn't posted on Twitter since August 6th.
Well, look, he had some issues last season, and he said, hey, man, I'm going to stay off social media and try to stop branding myself and put more into football this year.
Well, he's definitely going to stay off of it now.
Boy. Three days before the kickoff here, and that's your story of your star wide receiver getting shit on? Do you know? I mean, and the fact that he plays in Cleveland. I mean, the Steamers... How many fucking jerseys are you going to see number 13 jerseys with the word Steamer?
Just the color of the jersey.
Okay, well, and it's the Cleveland Steamers, and the name of the team is the Browns, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, like, it's almost like
if I wrote this joke in a movie, they'd be like, take it out.
Yeah,
it's too on the nose.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, there will probably be something with the Browns organization, and how do you handle it? So do you not allow people with those parody jerseys in? And because then you make a big deal out of it, or you just like let it happen and kind of hope it goes away, because it's not going to go either way. It's not going to go away. The internet exists now, so you're fucked. You just got to choose to ignore it, I think, at this point.
At what point, though, do you have to come out and make a statement is what I wonder, because this story is so big today that it's like, holy shit, pun intended. But you should say something one way or the other. I think the only move here, like if this happened, is to come out and own it and just be like, what up? I'm a freak, dude. I'm a freak.
From the Browns organization perspective, if I'm a PR person over there, I'm like, give me your phone. And I'm going to read through these texts and whatever else went back and forth between you two and see what she can actually prove. And then we'll decide what we're going to do.
Smart. You know what I mean? It's really smart. Yeah. Or you can just come out and say, look, I'm a freak, man. Nobody gets down like me. I'll get shit on, pissed on, whatever, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can get away with a lot of stuff. You could say, hey, you know what? Sometimes I like to fucking wear women's panties under my clothes. Now, getting shit on is an altogether different situation. And I feel like as somebody who's created a brand and sells a lot of jerseys, that's going to be a big fucking problem for him.
Or
if he starts a company that sells the parody stuff. If he starts his own company and it's fucking Odell Beckham Shits himself.com or whatever the fuck, and just sells it himself, he'd probably get rich. Richer,
I guarantee you right now, there has been an influx of NFL fans storming the NFL website to get the name Steamers put on the back of a jersey. Because you're allowed to. There's only a certain amount of words that you can't get on the back of an NFL jersey.
Yeah, it's mostly like
69.
Yeah, profanity.
But fuck. Yeah. You can't say that. But Steamers, there's no problem with that. I mean, what if your family's name? What if you were Jonathan Steamers, man, and that was just your last name, you know?
You were carpet cleaners, coming from a long line of carpet cleaning family. Jesus Christ. You can't make any of this up. I mean, it's like...
It just keeps getting crazier, man.
I said this yesterday while we were in the chat during the live show last night.
Mm-hmm.
People were asking about the SB 145 in California.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, all the rumors you're hearing aren't true, but the reality is way worse.
Yes.
And here's the reality. Like, so you, I don't think at this point, particularly in 2020, that... make-believe can compete with how fucked up real life has become.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, man, when is it going to turn? When is all this going to turn? And not anytime soon. I can promise you that.
Definitely not.
So in the meantime, we're just going to get fucked up and dance. We're going to dance. We got a live show on Saturday at WTF Whiskey Tango Foxtrots.
I'm not going to be dancing.
In Austin, Texas. No, we're going to be getting fucked up and going to a game. Watched the Navy game last night. Navy decided not to show up and play. They were still on the boat. They definitely did not get on a football field last night. It was 55-8 or 55-3.
Yeah, that was a minus one spread too.
Yeah, yeah, they got absolutely housed, and there was a lot of Navy fans who hit us up last night. And they're like, "Hey, man, are they just this bad? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be their year?" Yeah, it's going to be their entire year. The entire year is going to be like that. Army looked good though. Looks opening like weekend. I wanted to ask you about these Air Force robot dogs that they're testing. Have you seen these things?
No.
So Black Mirror has now come to life, and you know that Boston Dynamics company said that they were making these robot dogs for the military and things like that, right? They're here and they're out. And they look goddamn terrifying. They also look identical to the episode in Black Mirror.
Yeah, the one where the dog is chasing the woman around.
Yeah, but all those dogs, right? I mean, I'm looking at it right now because they've got a picture here. Dan, I'm gonna pop it over to you. They got a picture of what it what it looks like, and these things are getting ready to go out onto the battlefield. Let me ask you: is this the future? Is like soldiers on the ground just going to be replaced by shit like this?
Yes,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, look, as soon as the first country does it, everybody else has to, because unless there's some way, I mean, look, we have high heat intensity rounds like AGDP and SABO rounds and shit like that, but putting bullets through a human being and blowing up a piece of machinery are two very different things, right?
Right.
Now, the real problem is, I don't know how these things are shielded or whatever the fuck, but an EMP would destroy your entire army like that. Like, there's no weapon other than a nuclear weapon that you could use that would do that to human beings. But an
really?
EMP, yeah, an electromagnetic pulse, if their energy source and their electronics aren't shielded properly, just like a flip of a switch on a pinch would knock them all out within a certain radius, right? So that I don't think that would be a very efficient way to go
about it.
So yeah. We'll see. I mean, yeah. It depends.
I wondered, man, because you know, you read shit like this and you're like, all right, great. Are we gonna have robot soldiers next, along with the dogs and all that other shit? And then what's to stop you from, yeah, like you said, either using magnets or bombs, you know, just drop an aircraft on them and be like, all right, great. And then what happens when one of these things fucking plugs in, right? And learns a life of its own. You will literally be living in Black Mirror at that point.
Yep.
Which is absolutely fucking terrifying. And if you haven't seen the video of these dogs, dude, they're running upstairs, kicking in doors and shit now. Like, it's getting real scary here, man. And, boy. I don't know.
Should be fun.
I don't know what to say about this, man. It's a tough one. It should be fun. God damn.
Look,
man. All I keep thinking of is one of these things comes up to a child or something, just rips its face off.
I mean, look, they'll probably be more in control than pit bulls.
It's true.
To be frank, I mean, shit.
How's Disgusting Justin doing these days, speaking of pit bulls?
Yeah, he's got like 75 dogs in his house, and he's brewing his own beer. I don't know what he's doing.
Jeez. We got to get Disgusting Justin back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He went through a pit bull issue the dog turned on somebody on a Tinder date, I think. And he's working his way through that, but he'll be back on shortly. Another thing I want to talk to you about was, did you see this crazy fucking video here? And I don't know how to stop this. But there was a veteran who killed himself live on Facebook last night.
Mm-mm. I didn't see that, no.
Well, here's the fucked up thing about it, right? So it was a 33-year-old Army veteran from Mississippi. He served in Iraq. He shot himself in the head live on Facebook. And here's the problem with it is Facebook refused to pull it down initially.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was ripped, and then it was put on TikTok and all this other shit. Like,
why would you repost something like that?
I don't know. And it's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think of like, all right, well, I reposted the Antifa guy on fire yesterday. So, you know.
Yeah, but that's not a real person.
I know, right?
That's Antifa. They're human garbage. You know what I mean? That's water trash that happens to have formed a solid mass.
That's crazy. But yeah, so TikTok, this guy is on there. Look, people are using it to get clicks because they're like, watch this or don't watch this. Seriously, please don't watch it or search for it. Blah, blah, blah. And this just keeps going around, which is unfortunate. And, you know, look, the first thing you do when you get a video like this, don't watch this. Obviously, you're going to watch it. But I don't know how you prevent shit like that from happening. everything we're talking about is literally a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Same with this shit, where you're just like, all right, cool, man. Is that the few, everybody wants to be seen and heard, including in death. And then you got the robot dogs and everything else.
On that note, on the death thing, I mean, I think military veterans get used to the idea that they're going to die at some point, particularly guys and girls that are in combat. And you get used to the idea of that death meaning something at some point, because that's one of the ways you rationalize it. You know what I mean? So I don't know what the word is, as simple as that might seem, or as weird, or as maybe even petty to expose other people to your own suicide might seem. I think probably in the back of that person's head, they were thinking, at least people will see this and there will be a reaction and something will change because of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's probably where the person's head was at, if I had to guess.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, that is what it is. Like, it's, you get used to the idea, like, well, I'm going to fucking die, but at least X or Y or Z or whatever the at least is, whatever the reason
sure.
that you've come to terms with your own mortality is. So I don't know. I mean, obviously I can't speak for this person, but yeah, that's, I don't think it's for any malicious intent, but the reposting it, that's just for clout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's if anybody that reposted that should follow that guy, frankly, yeah. Cause you're a piece of shit and you don't deserve to be on this planet.
I agree, man. And it's, it's a strange time we're living in. Like, what's the hope and dream of reposting that? You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea. It's for internet clout. It's people do all sorts of stupid shit. Remember that girl that was fucking pretending to help board up a fucking window or whatever the fuck at a local business?
Yeah.
When the riots first started. Then she got back in the Tesla or Audi, whatever it was, with her boyfriend and drove away.
Yeah, they were taking selfies of her with a hammer and a nail.
Yeah, and the guy sitting there with the hammer after she handed it back to him, like, what the fuck just happened? I can tell you what just happened, my man.
Internet clout, yeah. Homes. Internet clouts. The next story I wanted to talk to you about today was, you worked in Homeland Security. CNN put out a article today. And look, I know what you're saying. Ross, why the fuck are you listening and or watching to CNN? I tried to watch or listen to all of them. Therefore, at least I'm informed on all opinions. And even though I don't agree with them, at least I know what somebody else is reporting on. And hopefully we can shed some light on it. They're saying, according to Homeland Security, a draft assessment is saying that white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the United States. Is that true or false?
That's ridiculous.
That's what I think, right?
Yeah. There might be 10 or 15,000 whites, like organized white supremacists in the country. Maybe. Like that's the federal estimate. And that's probably high, frankly. But, you know, it's the same thing with the mafia. When at its peak, the mafia had about 55 to 6,500 made guys total.
Yeah.
But it dominated a culture, especially in media, and because of media, because it's an interesting story, right? Like, I mean, think about any long running crime television show.
Uh-huh.
At some point has a white supremacist element come into it, whether it's in prison or whether it's out on the street. I mean, look at like Justified, The Shield, every single one of these major fucking major TV shows over the years that deal with crime have butted up against major storylines dealing with white supremacy because it's fucked up and that makes it interesting. You know what I mean? So the media pumps that shit up, but no, of course not. Like, there's, what are they going to do? Exactly. What are they going to do to be an existential threat to the United States? China buying up all of our real estate is a threat.
I agree, man. And back to your mob theory here. It's true, man. Like in this new St. James book that comes out at Thanksgiving, you're in it. You are in the audiobook. You're great, by the way. We're editing it right now. And it comes out about Thanksgiving, but it deals with the mob in the 20s, right? And when I was doing my research on the mob in the 20s, I was writing about this one character and I didn't know what the character looked like. And I wasn't sure if there was a picture of him from the 1920s because it's, you know, obviously there wasn't like the paparazzi wasn't a thing or starting to become one or whatever. And I was shocked to find this name. It was Joe the Boss, and it was in Boardwalk Empire. Now, when I was doing research on that, you were correct. Like, there was hardly anybody in the mob, but they were the ones that got the most press media-wise. And it's very similar to today, right? You have Donald Trump, who everybody hates. Everybody associates him with a white supremacist. Therefore, you're putting up all this footage, CNN and everybody else, putting, oh, white supremacist, he's fucking Nazi and all this other shit. And it's like, I look at Charlottesville, you know, which they always go back to, and there wasn't that many people. And it was a bunch of fucking white kids with tiki torches from like a party city, you know?
Right. I mean, it could be.
It didn't look like an organized white supremacist Klan meeting, you know, that was out in the woods and there was thousands of people there.
Just for the sake of argument, I haven't read the article, so I don't know, but it could be in the same vein that people say that radical Islam is an existential threat. Now, there's a lot since 9/11, particularly, but even before that, there's this generally held belief by quite a few people on the conservative side, especially, that that most Muslims are either involved in or supportive of international terrorism. Right? Mm-hmm. If that were true, then this whole world would be on fire. It's just not. There's a billion Muslims.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A billion people. That's one.
Literally
seventh.
1 billion.
Yeah, 1/7 of the population. If they really wanted to start fucking shit up, wouldn't be hard to do it. Now, that's because that particular version of that argument is a weak argument. The real version of that argument is all the research that was done in the early 2010s about sympathy for international terrorism among moderate groups in the Islamic community, like in Palestine, for example, something like 53% of all people supported terrorism. And it wasn't like some weird poll. It was like, do you support like these organizations that are clearly terrorist organizations? And 53% said yes. It was 45% in a couple of other countries, and it was pretty widespread. So it's the same thing with the left in this country today, where it isn't necessarily people who believe in that pedophilia is okay, but they're always trying to make excuses for people. They're always trying to be sympathetic and all this stuff. And there's some things that you can't be sympathetic about.
Yeah.
Pedophilia is one of them, obviously, as is terrorism. Now, there are a lot of people that are sympathetic to white supremacy in this country, in my opinion. I feel like there are quite a few, because I don't think they're supportive of people like Eric Rudolph blowing up fucking abortion clinics, or this Charlottesville asshole driving over people, or anything stupid like that. But when you've been in total control for so long and other people start catching up with you, it does feel like you're losing stuff, right?
Right.
It's not real. You're not losing anything. And in some cases you are, because the left takes it too far. But in general, I haven't lost any opportunities, and neither of you, for the most part. So, man, it's just, if you're trying to frame the narrative in that way, where it's not necessarily these 5,000 to 15,000 assholes that are in militia camps and all this other bullshit, but it's the people that are apologists for them or deny they exist or whatever, then maybe it could be a bigger threat than what I'm seeing. But it's certainly not the biggest threat. It's not even fucking close. And yeah, that's saying that is, I'm going to get into this on the fake news.
Sure.
On Thursday. But saying stupid shit like that is the reason no one takes you seriously. And it's the reason that the right in this country in the last 2 weeks has lost the COVID debate about that 6% shit and all the stupid fucking shit that everybody said about it without understanding what data is and how data science works. You lost the argument. You had an opportunity there to hammer the left and make them look like the fucking idiots they've been.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you just fucking jacked off into your own face. Congratulations.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to finish the rest of the statement here on CNN. It says, white supremacists will remain the most persistent and lethal threat in the United States through 2021, according to the Department of Homeland Security draft documents. The most recent draft report predicts an elevated threat environment at least through early next year, they said, concluding that some U.S.-based violent extremists have capitalized on increased social and political tensions in 2020. So the problem I have with this story is the problem I have with a lot of stories that are coming out now, right? The other one being with Trump hates the military.
Mm.
Which is clearly not true. I mean, that motherfucker does more for the military than a lot of people.
Yeah.
He was just in Wilmington. dedicating a goddamn city, which I don't even know what that is, you know?
Yeah, he made Wilmington the first historical World War II site in the country.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a series of those over the next several years.
Yeah. Look, he does a lot for veterans and things like that. The problem I have with an article like this is clearly political for now, right? We're 7 weeks out of the election. You're going to see a lot more articles like this. That's Trump one about the Trump hates veterans and shit like that. That was through the Atlantic. There is no sources. They're all anonymous. And there's no fact checking or anything you can possibly do about that. Because apparently if you just write an article and say, hey, man, there's no sources and the person wishes to remain anonymous, then you can do whatever the fuck you want. I think you're going to see a lot more of these articles. And the problem I have, especially with this white supremacy article here today, it's dangerous to even put this out in public for people who might read this and or share it on Facebook and everything else to think that, oh my God, I've got to worry about white supremacy through the next fucking year because it's going to go all the way through 2021.
Well, it's they're trying to make that narrative real, us versus them. And that is not the narrative. The narrative is, in real life, what's really going on is that you can't trust any politician. That's what's really going on. And any time, or the media, for example, or as well.
By the way, I've got the media is number one.
Yeah, for sure.
The number one enemy to me.
Yeah, and it's that's the reality of the situation. You cannot trust the media or politicians. Now, the media, I've said this since the very beginning of all the shit, since 3 days after Floyd got killed. If somebody's trying to divide you, they're trying to conquer you. Those are fucking two, you know, peas in the same goddamn pod. Divide, conquer, divide, conquer. It's been going on for as long as human civilization has been going on, right?
Right.
And if you see somebody trying to divide you, you can naturally assume they're trying to conquer you. Now, why would the media want to do that? They're losing all their money. They can't do shit anymore.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So all they, like, even if they're not doing it intentionally to conquer, that is what happens because the government sees that. Is they're predators. People that get into government these days, they're not fucking good people. They're predators.
Right.
And they get into government to fucking either make themselves rich or because they're power hungry. Neither one of those things should be true, but it is true. But these are just, these aren't realities that they're talking about. They're trying to frame these narratives to scare people or to make people choose sides and all this other bullshit. And it is absolute nonsense. How many people have died because of white supremacists this year? And how many people have died in gangland shootings this year? I'd like to see those two numbers side by side, and you can tell me what the fuck is dangerous.
I agree. And it's one of those things where the responsibility of the media and what they mean in the world has gone out the window. And it's just about clicks and staying alive at this point. Like the Atlantic, for example. The Atlantic is hurting. That is one of those paid platforms, which, you know, most media is trying to convert to that now. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, hey, we'll let you read four articles and then you got to pay $1 a week or whatever it is to read the rest of it. People are clicking off because they're like, dude, I can just find that same story somewhere else. The Atlantic is the same way where it's like, hey, man, we've got to pay our reporters and blah, blah, blah. So you got to pay for this. The problem with it is you need to create more salacious stories in order to get clicks and try to get people to subscribe. And it's like you just reporting the news and the facts and people's good deeds.
Yeah.
Isn't going to do it.
Well, anymore. I mean, look, CNN in particular, I think they are the most egregious version of this.
Yeah.
Because they've turned into, it's basically BuzzFeed now.
Yeah.
Like it's
cable television, BuzzFeed.
It's a click farm. So they ran an article yesterday that said Postmaster General reimburses employees for donating to GOP. Mm-hmm. What they didn't say is that he left. He's not the Postmaster General anymore. He's not paying government employees to do it. He's paying his own employees to do it, which is still illegal. He's still an asshole.
Right.
But they clearly wanted you to think that a sitting member of the president's cabinet was paying people to fucking do shit for him.
That's funny. I read that article too.
That should be like literally that is election tampering. That should be illegal and should go to jail for saying shit like that, in my opinion. Now it's very dangerous to start putting members of the press in prison. So maybe we should just start beating the shit out of them in the streets. You know what I mean?
Look, if we're going down that road, let's all everybody meet up in Portland and just kind of figure it out at this point. Because Portland's hot 100 days. That was the next story I wanted to talk
about. Well, hold on. Facebook's doing it too right now, by the way. I've gotten these pop-ups for, hey, do you want to register for mail-in voting?
Oh, yes. I get that every day.
From three different states.
Yes, same here.
And I clearly only live in the one state.
Yeah.
Right? And I've never lived in any of the three other three. I got one from Florida. Not Florida. Yeah, one from Florida, one from Virginia, and I don't remember what the other one is. I didn't get a screenshot.
Dude, I get that every day. I was Xing out of it because I didn't understand what it meant.
It's Facebook trying to engineer an election right now. So here's what people don't know about this whole situation. Google and – well, we talked about this last week, but Google and Facebook are both – they both have upcoming antitrust suits that are about to fuck them up.
Correct, in October, right? Yeah.
So you cannot fucking convince me that – the leadership at Facebook and the leadership at Google didn't say, hey, Dems, if we fuck Trump over, then don't prosecute us. I guarantee fucking to you that conversation happened. I guarantee you it happened.
I do too. And you're right, man. I keep getting these voter things. So I get them on Instagram is owned by Facebook. I keep getting them on Instagram and Facebook over and over and over again. And it's like, hey, dude, I'm registered to vote. Like, in my states where I'm supposed to be, and you goddamn right, I'll be there. Opening day as soon as I can vote, but I was trying to figure out why.
Well, you know why.
Well, I know why, but deeper. I was looking for a deeper meaning than that. And to me, this is what I came to: is I think people are having a really hard time getting excited to go out and vote for Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. I think the Democrats are having a really hard time at getting other people excited about Joe Biden to beat Trump other than just to get Trump out of there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's not about the candidate on their side anymore. It is simply about like, hey man, we just need to get rid of Trump. It really doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
We know our candidate is shitty. How do we do this? And like,
by the way, this has been attempted before in every second term election that's happened as long as I've been voting.
Yeah.
The blame Bush and anybody but Bush was a thing. The blame Obama and anybody but Obama was the thing. And now it's happening again. It is fucking nonsense. It's absolutely, it's not based on any kind of evidence or any kind of facts or any of that bullshit. It's just based on you have co-signed. This is why I fucking hate political parties. You've co-signed as a Republican or a Democrat. And now here are the 12 things you believe.
Right.
And one of them is we got to get rid of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
under any circumstance, we got to get rid of Donald Trump. And one of the other things, by the way, that they believe is that COVID is dangerous for everybody. And that's categorically untrue. It is false to say that.
I watched yet another football game last night.
Yeah. It's just that is just an untrue statement, but people have to believe it. Because if you're a Democrat, particularly a liberal Democrat in this country right now, or a progressive Democrat, you have to, if you say out loud to somebody else, like maybe one-on-one, but if you say it out loud in a group of people that think like you, that you don't like, I think we should just get back to work, they'll fucking crucify your ass. And if you don't believe me, watch the videos that come out every single day of these assholes walking around in the street, going up to restaurants and bars and shit and slapping things out of people's hands and trying to make them fucking join my cause. Like, get the fuck out. I goddamn wish, I'm going to start going out more because I fucking wish that would happen to me. I would pistol whip the fuck out of that person right in front of their family. And if their family wasn't there, I would drag them back to their house where their family was and be like, hey, you fucked up with this one. Try again.
Yeah.
Fuck that. You really think you're going to fucking intimidate conservatives? It doesn't work that way. It's stupid. It's like the shit that Biden and Harris pulled over the last 2 weeks where all of a sudden they're fucking tough on crime. Like, you fucking kidding me? You guys have been sucking Antifa's dick and BLM's dick for the last 6 fucking months. And now you're going to try to flip flop all of a sudden like nobody's going to notice. And then you're going to try to play the card as Antifa or BLM that all of a sudden you're some kind of fucking tough guy. No, you're skinny little bitches. And you only fucking show up when there's 60 of you.
Yep.
Get fucked.
And look, it is convenient for them when their polls start dropping, right? And then it's just like, well, now we're tough on crime.
Yeah.
It's a convenient, oh, well, now we're tough on crime because it turns out that a bunch of people don't like violence in their cities.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy right now. But I've been going through these numbers. We're obviously hosting a huge live election show. I have a feeling, by the way, the ratings will be gangbusters. Because we're going to go live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, right, Giorgio?
for the election show,
The election show, yeah. We'll be the only ones who are just talking shit throughout the whole night and giving it to you. I started going over my notes last night. So we're 2 months out. I started really running down through these states last night. And Nate Silver is posting a daily update of state by state why Trump is going to lose these states. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I went through that list last night. I have 7 different states than Nate Silver. I had 7 different states in the last election in 2016 for Nate Silver. I'm real, real curious to see if this lines up, because as of last night, they are still giving Biden a 71% chance of winning.
Who's the they in that statement?
538 is the website.
Really?
That is Nate Silver.
So the last data set he put out said for that chance, mm-hmm. then Biden would have to win by 5 points.
Right.
He would have to win by 5%, and there's no fucking way, dude.
Correct. So right now, currently, in his poll, according to his poll, by the way, he's got Biden up by 7.5%. As of last night when I was doing my research, and I was like, man, I am not seeing the same fucking numbers as you are, my man. And I'm really looking forward to the pre-election show, and then the election night show. Obviously, we'll be the drunkest we've ever been. I know my states. We're going to have to, Georgia, we're going to have to get some form of map where I can fill in my own colors and shit like that, like a child.
We can make that happen.
Great. Yeah. Great. Yeah, because I'd like to do that and have that graphic up, because I have the states now. And again, we differ on 7, which is a lot. But he's got them as locks, because if you go down to the 538 website, he's got individual states already locked up, where it's like, you take New York, for example. New York is a 99% to 1 chance that Biden's going to win that state. I agree. That's an easy one, right? Same with California and a few other states where I'm like, yeah, those are easy ones. But then I look at some of them like Michigan and Pennsylvania and things like that, and it's like 78 to 21. And I'm like, man, there's no way. And by the way, I know that's off by 1 percentage point. They're apparently factoring in that people will vote independent for at least 1% during that state. I'm assuming that's Joe Jorgensen or Kanye West. Not really sure. I don't know which ballots Kanye has made or if you're going to write in on that, but you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
To,
yeah. There's, I mean, he hasn't been right in a while.
No, he hasn't been right in a very long time.
And he, along with everybody else, was wrong last time. And it's very interesting to see that he hasn't changed his data model at all. And I wonder if
it's like, the same exact numbers today as it was for Hillary and the same thing. And he's saying, well, Joe Biden's a different candidate. It's like, is he?
No, he's not. He's an old white racist establishment guy that fucking is anti-woman. And we've seen it, right? Because he fucking sniffs people like a fucking weirdo. He says racist shit all the time. He fucking supported the crime bill. He supported the Iraq war. Are you fucking kidding me? It's the same goddamn person.
It's crazy.
He just has smaller testicles than Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hillary's got a bigger sack.
Figuratively and literally.
And by the way, for those of you who think that I'm fucking too far right that I can't see through the weeds on this one, I will be totally blunt with you. In 2008, when McCain was running, it was the same type of deal for me personally, candidate-wise, where even though I lean right and I traditionally always vote Republican, unless there's some crazy independent that comes out and blows my mind, obviously, like a middle guy on one of these local ballots, I looked at McCain the same way, where I was like, man, he's too old. I can't get excited about McCain, and I don't think Republicans can really get excited about McCain. And I think you're going to see the exact same thing on election night.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't want somebody that old to be
president.
In power.
No,
at all.
Dude. No. And, you know, McCain went through his missteps as well. The narrative, by the way, on this stuttering thing with Biden, it's getting really fucking weird to me. Mm-hmm. Like how everybody's just passing this off of like, oh, he had a stuttering problem as a child. We've seen Joe Biden in politics for 47 years.
Yeah.
He's never stuttered once. Matter of fact, he's a pretty goddamn good public speaker. Mm-hmm. And so the last year when, you know, unfortunately he's faced with whatever form of dementia he's going through, that sucks. But for, let's face it, for years and years and years before that, he was a pretty great goddamn speaker. And he was great at these events going out to meet people. Now, unfortunately, at this age and his decline, he is no longer able to do that. And I think this debate's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
But obviously we're here for it, and we might have to go live that night.
We'll be live for, well, not from here. We'll be at WTF.
No.
Oh, you're talking about the debate. Was it the 26th?
It's coming up, man. Yeah. I think it's in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're heading to Nashville. What next?
Oh, week? Debate Companions is where it's at.
Debate Companions. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Where we go live for the debates.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Look, we'd love to. I forget. We did it for one event last time, and it was great. I'd love to do it again.
We did it for the hot dog eating contest.
Yes. Yeah. And we did it for one other thing besides that. I forget what it was, but it was fun. And yeah, I think we should do that for the first debate, because look, you're going to see the wheels fall off in that one. 2 hours live on television.
It'll be really interesting to see how that all goes, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think there's a pretty decent chance that that Biden's jacked up on something.
I agree. You know, Trump said he wanted to drug test him, but, you know, what's Adderall going to test or something, you know?
I mean, it's not going to happen either way. They're not going to drug test anybody.
That's crazy. But look, we won our presidents on drugs, to be honest with you. So I hope Biden's on Adderall for his sake. For real. Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, it would be good for him for sure.
Probably. Might wear off after 2 hours, but whatever. We'll see. We get some sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. The fun thing about doing this show, Dan, is we just get to rapping about life. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit. We actually have people who pay for this to be on the air. GhostBed.com/drinking bros. They're still doing the Labor Day deal right now. 30% off of all bundle packages. So you can bundle a mattress, pillows, sheets, adjustable bases, covers, all of that in. You can bundle it together and get 30% off. And then obviously, if you're a member of the military, first responder, you work in the government or you're a teacher in this life, you always get 30% off. So that's everything. So even if you want to go on there and just buy one pillow, right? You need one fucking pillow. Or you want to test it out and be like, dude, I just want to try a ghost pillow. If it's as good as those goddamn guys say it is all the time, I want it.
It is, by the way.
It is, yeah. And there was a thread in Drinking Bros, which, by the way, Drinking Bros is a private group on Facebook. If you don't know that, there's like 115,000 members in there. Go there. The only rule is just don't be a cunt. And, dude, if you're struggling or having a hard time, dude, one of us will be there for you. And that's what the group is all about. That being said, somebody put up a post that said, hey, man, thinking about pulling the trigger on this Ghost Bed bundle package. It was like 80 Drinking Bros who were like, dude, the thing's the best of all time. We now have the adjustable bases because we shrunk down to Cal Kings and from Cal Kings to Kings, and it's the best. Also, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. So go there today and get all of your mattress needs. It really is the best, the cooling mattress. I would highly recommend. Next up, D'Anthony. We got felixgrayglasses.com/drinking bros. Where are they?
I don't know. We haven't received our new ones
Where
yet.
Are they? Everybody steals these every time they come in. It was somebody, there was a famous actress on TMZ last night, was talking about her fucking, I've got these glasses that block out the blue light because I'm staring at screens all day. Congratulations. It's Felix Gray. They've been doing it forever. Yeah. And they're the best in the biz. They've got more frames than a fucking lens crafters up in that bitch. And you need to get on it. Look, is it overnight shipping? Do they overnight ship there?
I think it's like 48-hour shipping or something like that. It's real. It's pretty fast. Yeah,
it's pretty fast. They're fast. GhostBed's always fast. All of our companies are pretty fucking quick.
Yep.
Here's the thing. They've got some patented technology in their glasses. The average American spends about 11 hours in front of screens. Computers, phones, iPhones, all that other shit, you name it. This helps block out the blue light. It's the only thing that has saved my eyesight, dude. Writing this much and with a new book coming out and all that shit, fuck, man, I'm probably spending like 16 hours a day in front of a screen.
Yeah, a lot, for sure.
It's shitty. Felix Gray is the only thing that's gotten me through this. If you're out there, man, they make them cool looking, so it's just like, that shit, if you want them fucking... if you want Malcolm X glasses, you used to have the Malcolm X ones for a while.
I did. Yeah, they're pretty dope.
Amiri King, you fucker. He stole them. But then all the broettes and all their fucking guests always steal them all the time. Look, go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinking bros. Get yours today. If you need a prescription, throw an extra 20 at them. They'll pop those in there for you and ship them out to you. But you're good to go once you have a pair of these, man. And especially now. Jesus Christ. Everybody's moving to Zoom, by the way.
Yeah,
everyone.
They are.
This building was a fucking tech, big tech company that owned this new building we're in for the new sets.
You know what goes really well with new glasses is a fucking watch.
Goddamn right it does.
You want to match that stuff.
Yeah, brother. VinceroWatches.com. V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Watches.com. You got them right there? Motherfucker, man. I gave mine away, so I had to wear my old watch today. The new ones just came in. Let's open them live on air. Why not, dude? Thanks, Giorgio. I appreciate it. So we had a Drinking Bro of the Week come into the studio. By the way, if you're in Austin, Texas and want to come by and see us shoot a show, you're more than welcome to come in. And hang, and we'll bring you out and give you the Drinking Bro of the Week live on air. And then typically we give you something. So we've been giving out Vincero watches on set, and it's been rad. Everybody's like, holy shit, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, man, we're fucking serious. They're in this box right here. Classy as shit. Very nice watches. You always need a nice watch in this world.
Yep.
Especially for suits and business events and all that other shit. Clearly, I'm white trash, and I'm not wearing one today. And also, we've been giving these away. Oh, there's my other one, too. So if you look, I'll tell you what. The next person that pops by the studio, I'll give you this one right here. I'll give you this Vincero watch. Go to VinceroWatches.com, VinceroWatches.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros. This is the only time they're going to give you 30% off. They've never done 30% off before. They're doing it now. Yeah. Everybody needs a nice watch in this life. And go to one real quick, Giorgio. There we go. Boom. Comes in this fucking amazing, classy box. And man, dude, these things are the nicest. I can't open this watch live on air.
Are you having problems with that box?
I'm beefing it, dude.
What about that one?
I'm really beefing it. I'm like Elon Musk trying to test out the fucking that new pickup truck, dude.
Well, somebody was asking him the other day. They were like, hey, how's whatever the stupid fucking name of his child is? And he was like, excuse me? And he was like, oh, you're asking about my kid. And he laughed. He's like, oh, he's good. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to ask about a child, my man, but whatever.
Elon Musk is the best, dude. Here it is. Boom. Here's the watch. Go to the mother squeezing. These are amazing. Go to VinceroWatches.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 30% off. All these watches are dope as fuck. Whoever comes into the studio next, I'll give you this watch for free. And you can tell me, and you can tell the people on air how great it is. That way, it's like, all right, sweet, man. We'll have an actual fucking listener come in, and I'll give you a free watch. I've given the last two away. We do that a lot. If you stop by the studio and you come in, we usually give you something cool. We get a bunch of fucking swag up in this bitch, and we're looking forward to doing a bunch of live shows. We're giving a lot of shit away on Saturday at the live show. It's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot as well. Shout out to Austin Talley for letting us hang there and watch some of those afternoon games this Saturday, and have some of the people out to have some drinks with us. Looking forward to it for sure.
You can still sign up, by the way, if you haven't, if you're in the Nashville area or anywhere out there, you can still sign up for to come see us at this Nashville event, play golf and whatnot. If you play,
yes, dude, we'll be there with Kid Rock.
Yeah,
next week,
Kid Rock and Rob O'Neill, Nate Bergazzi is going to be there. The comedian's a really funny guy.
Ray Cash Care will be with
Ray
us.
Ray Care will be there. Jason Rao from Breaking Benjamin's going to be there.
Yeah,
me, you, Jared will be there.
It's going to be a hell of a time.
Bob Menery, Lee Greenwood. I don't remember who all is coming. There's
is
a lot
Lee
of
Greenwood going?
Yeah,
no shit.
He's going to sing the anthem.
Is he going to sing I'm Proud to Be an American?
I hope not.
I hope so, Dan. You fucker. You know I love that song.
I've seen that too many times.
And I'm proud to be an American. Ooh, and at least I know I'm free. Fuck you. I'm amped for Lee Greenwood. Holy shit. Is that real?
I think that's, yeah, he's going to be there. I mean, I think that I think that is part of the part of the song.
I'm gonna pull out my ding dong for Lee Greenwood. Is it weird if a dude pulls out his dick in the crowd for Lee Greenwood?
For any other man, yeah, I believe that's weird. But you shouldn't pull your dick out at all.
But I'm proud to be an American, obviously. So I'm gonna pull my dick out for Lee Greenwood.
Yeah, I don't know if that's relevant.
Man, if we get Lee Greenwood on the show, it's fucking over with. Would he sing it or would we owe him royalties is the question.
I mean, I don't think you...
Depends on if he wrote it, I guess.
I don't think you owe royalties for anything that's done live like that, right?
It depends. It depends on if... So if he didn't write it, we would owe royalties.
Mm.
Isn't that fucked up? That's what happened to Creedence, by the way.
Yeah.
John Fogerty was only the singer and he didn't write it, so he didn't get any of those fucking residuals and he quit Creedence.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, dude. So all those songs, oh, Suzy Q, blam, blam, podcasting is getting massive, kids. Everybody knows that. It feels like everybody and their mother has a podcast now. They're not great at it, but they're getting podcasts. The latest one, Dan, I want to get your feelings on this. Bill Clinton.
Oh, God.
Getting a podcast with iHeartMedia.
Was he going to talk about all the women he sexually assaulted over the years?
It says Clinton's going to get a podcast in 2021. And it'll be hosted, it'll build on the one that he was hosting for the Clinton Foundation. The podcast is inspired by Bill Clinton's belief that the purpose of his work in public service is to give people the opportunity to live their best life story. That's what they're saying here. Look, if your best life story is to hop on a private jet around 16 or 17 years old, go to a little St. James Island, and get blasted by a bunch of old dudes, then yeah, sure. That's a podcast that you know, he would know a lot about. But other than that, I'm not going to take life advice.
Who did he sign with?
iHeartMedia, dude.
iHeartMedia.
Yeah.
All right. I got to look into that.
Yeah.
See if we have any dealings with them.
We used to be on iHeart for a while. We only had 24. Look, not a lot of people are listening to iHeart. I thought they were going out of business. I think they're trying to rebrand. Let's see.
Well, it's a good idea. If you're trying to rebrand in today's climate, it's definitely a good idea to fucking get a fucking rapist, a child rapist on your fucking shows.
I got an interesting one for you. Looking down in this article, it says the Foundation's previous podcast, Why Am I Telling You This?, which launched last year, featured Chelsea Clinton as co-host. Man, is there anybody more boring in this world than Chelsea Clinton? Holy shit. How did she get her own podcast? What was she talking about? There's a rumor that she's going to run in 2024. Have you heard that?
Why?
She's a Clinton.
I never understand why people run for things. What makes you uniquely qualified to lead other people? Have you led other people before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you led them in a way that translates to this particular type of leadership where you do more listening than you do talking, things like that?
Right.
I would say probably 0% of politicians have been there. People that are currently politicians, I don't know how you prepare for that job. A lot of politicians are former attorneys, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Congress, it's not a terrible idea to be a former attorney because you have to write laws and things like that, right? But you also have counsel that can write the laws for you. You should be coming up with ideas, not necessarily being an attorney. Attorneys are best at manipulating language.
Correct.
And fucking people over, in my opinion. These folks are not prosecutors necessarily, but criminal defense attorneys, and to some degree, I guess, but mostly media attorneys,
right?
Entertainment attorneys. They are fucking the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
They are fucking scumbags.
Lawyers and attorneys are the worst people on earth.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind prosecutors. I don't mind.
Well, look, yes. Things. If you're doing if you're doing the Innocence Project and things like that, that's fine. But the rest of them are fucking shitbirds, dude.
Yeah.
All the way around. Even my own attorneys, they're all fucking assholes. They're all shitty people. And I don't know why they do the job they do. I really don't. It's a necessary evil.
Well, I mean, I guess, I know.
It's not one of them I bro down with in real life.
I think there's people that do certain types of law.
Stacey's attorney.
She's great. Natalie Kwan is great.
She's trying to change the world, change laws and.
Right. Yeah. But she had a pretty successful litigating career before that.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah. And she made a fuck ton of money doing it. So that kind of frees you up. Look, you have to be able to fucking. Things like that.
Yeah.
My point was, it's odd to me how Americans decide that someone's qualified for a job like that, because you like them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really a reason to put someone I've had leaders that I don't like that were better leaders than people that I was really good friends with. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't necessarily have to like a human being for them to be a good leader. Particularly in a role that's very difficult to do, where you have to make hard decisions and you have to fucking not just between you and other politicians, but between you and your fucking constituency, and between you and maybe in at the federal level, but you and foreign powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into that, and none of it has anything to do with whether or not I want to fucking go out drinking with you that night.
True.
I don't want to hang out with Donald Trump, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it would be funny to hang out with him and troll people on Twitter. That'd be fun.
Right.
But he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. Yeah, he doesn't party. Somebody said something about the Adderall thing the other night. They were like, hey, he was snoring. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do anything, actually.
Yeah.
He's a fucking total straight edge. The only thing he does is Diet Coke and McDonald's.
Yeah, he drinks Diet Coke. Like, he drinks a case a day.
Yeah, it's something crazy. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, people talk about, like, oh, I think this person or that person should get into politics. Why? People ask me to get into politics. Like, why the fuck would I do that? Why would I subject myself to that? And why would I subject you to that? Look, people aren't going to listen anyways. 5-10% of people can hear an argument, process it, and then change their mind.
Right.
And everybody else is like, no, I don't think so. No, that doesn't match up with the fucking my worldview or the meme I saw on Facebook. People are fucking idiots.
I think local politics, you have the best chance of doing shit. Obviously, we ran for school board. Like, you have an actual chance of changing things at a local level. At a national level, I don't think you do. And I'm with you on that. Like, running for president and things like that, like, it just seems so far-fetched and such a pipe dream that it's like, also a job that it's the worst job in the world. President of the United States is the worst job in the world. Will you be remembered forever? Yes. It depends on what light and all that other shit. And truthfully, history is not going to decide that until about 15 years after you get out of there anyway. So I don't know why anybody would want that particular job. Same with senators and governors and all that shit, man. You're going to get pushback on all of these things from one side or the other. And I still see people pushing back on this COVID thing of like, it's too dangerous to do things and we should keep everything shut down. It's like, man, how are you going to pay for shit? I just saw the thing that came out in California where they're going to give you an extra $300. And all Californians are like, we need more money than that. And was just like, hey, man, you're also the same people that didn't want to go to work because you thought COVID was too dangerous. Right. So what's the middle ground there?
Well, there is no middle ground anymore anywhere.
No.
And, you know, just to reiterate, it's very clear what's happening right now. Right. People are like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? I personally think that it's very clear what's happening. If somebody. We've seen all this shit before. We've seen it before in so many different countries other than our own. And then, you know, in smaller ways, even here in our own country. And it's just common sense. If somebody's trying to strip your rights away, your ability to make decisions for yourself, whether it's through policy or through fucking shame or virtue signaling or whatever the fuck it is. And at the same time, they're trying to limit your ability to produce money for yourself and your family, which is what shutting all this shit down does. And like there's the shame part. There's the money part. There's the fucking division part, right? All of that stuff. And then the government fucking overreaching into your life and telling you what you can and can't do. This is the groundwork for communism. That's exactly what it is. Now, you can say that's hyperbole all you want, but look at every country that's gone from whatever the fuck it was to communism, and these are the exact fucking blueprints for it. Now, I don't know if the Democratic Party at large has some grand scheme to make the country communist, but this is how it starts, right? And it doesn't matter if they're doing it on purpose. It has to stop.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's intentional. It doesn't matter if they're fucking twisting their mustache and like, we're going to turn America communist. It doesn't matter because right now the Democrats in this country, the vast majority of them at least, are a child walking up to a fucking electrical socket trying to put a fork in it. And I'm trying to slap that shit out of their hand. Like, nope.
Yep.
Nope. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. And like a child, they're petulant. You just don't like this. Are you fucking racist? Are you fucking this? I'm like, no, you're just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And you can't read the tea leaves, man. This is history. This shit's happened dozens of times over the last 70 years. You can't fucking do it here. You're not going to. We'll fuck you up if you try, frankly. And I think that's it. We talked to Dakota a couple weeks ago about when it's time for people to fucking start getting involved in things and stuff like that. When I start seeing communists, like encroachment into my lifestyle, that to me is worth physically fighting for, right? Like, you're not going to do that. I will not allow that to happen under any circumstances, period.
Yeah.
Like whatever has to be done to stop that from happening will be done, period. And I don't think that's a radical thing to say because we've seen the effect. Communism never worked. Right. It always becomes a despotic regime every single time. Like, this is one case where, no, every single fucking time, forever.
There isn't one that's, and look, shit, even communist countries are still going through it today. Like, that Milan movie is out right now for Disney. And everybody is asking to boycott it because the actors in it, the leads, yep. are Chinese actors. And they're saying that the actions against Hong Kong were justified. And people are fucking enraged, obviously. And it's like, hey, man, if you're Hollywood, that's what you got involved with. 4 out of 8 studios are owned by the Chinese. And they're going to get what they want at the end of the day. And congratulations, you brought that on yourself.
I think, didn't somebody, let's see.
And that's what communism brings you, brother.
Yeah, it did. I mean, look, if somebody, it's I say it on the show a lot, cui bono, who benefits, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking around trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on and why, who benefits from what's happening right now? Because it's not you or me.
No.
It's not any of you. It's not anybody in the American population that's benefiting from this. You could say that in the short term, giving welfare to people is a benefit, right? But that does not benefit them or their children or their grandchildren in any realistic way. All it does is keep them on the government tit. So who benefits from shutting down businesses? Who's used welfare as a weapon over the last 60 years to keep the entire black population, not the entire, to keep a large portion of the black population controlled under the thumb of the government, reliant on the government, and now particularly on one side, one political side, right? Government overreach, controlling economic output, rolling back of individual liberty and all that stuff. It's a fucking blueprint to communism, and it's not happening here. Like, you can fucking go out into the street and wear your fucking stupid black mask and yell at people and fucking set shit on fire all you want and make a fucking scene. You can fucking demand that NBA stadiums be turned into voting centers when you're clearly pushing one candidate and trying to fucking engineer results of an election because of your popularity. You can do all that stuff. But when it turns into this bullshit right here, I'm going to fuck you up.
The interesting part about it is this. Let's say all this does happen with the NBA stadiums and everything you're talking about, and you still lose. What is your excuse after that? Because there is going to be one. You were talking about Dakota being on the show the other day. In that show, me and Jared said that if Trump is to win on November 3rd, cities are going to fucking burn. And I still stand by that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be your excuse after that? You know, you've pulled every trick you possibly could at this point, right? What happens if you still lose after all of it? You have all of the social media on your side.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of the sports athletes, celebrities, actors, actresses, all that stuff on your side. What happens if you still lose?
Well, here's what we thought would happen in 2016. Here's what we thought would happen in 2004 as well. Like, the left tried to do something and they failed abjectly. Mm-hmm. And it was because of the way they tried to do it. Like, they tried to lean on these fucking Hollywood dum-dums and all this other bullshit, and they just got fucking hammered. And it happened in 2016 again. And the only, like, it didn't really apply to Obama because he was an exciting candidate for people, I think. And he mobilized a subsection of the voter base that just didn't vote before. Young people and black people.
Yeah.
Young people voted and black people voted. So when that happens, Democrats typically win. Now, that's not going to happen now.
No.
Obviously, 20% of the NBA who's out there fucking leading the charge on this isn't even registered to fucking vote.
No, only 20% is registered to vote.
Only 20%,
so 80% isn't registered to vote in the NBA.
Yeah, so it's like, they what will happen is excuses, and but no lessons learned. I would have hoped, because that's an important lesson to learn. If after 2004, after losing to Bush again, losing to one of the most unpopular sitting presidents of all time. Like, he was very, very unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the first presidents. He might, I haven't looked into before the Cold War, but he might be the only president ever to be, to have a poll, unfavorable poll of greater than 50% and still win over 50% of the fucking votes.
Yeah, because they're asking about in this current election that's coming up if a candidate would get more than 50% of the votes. And
no,
the answer is no. I don't think so either. The strange thing about Bush to me, looking back at it, and again, I say the same thing over and over again. You need to give this 15 years before somebody leaves to see what history is really like towards that president.
Well, good, because we're about 12 years.
Yeah.
Past him. And
right.
I'll go ahead and call it. George W. Bush was a piece of shit president.
So I'm with you on that. Here's the odd thing to me with Bush is he was so shitty and people came down on him, the media, celebrities, everything, that the tide kind of changed recently where it was like, he was hanging out with Ellen. He was hanging out with other people.
Right.
People started to become sympathetic to how awful they were to him during that. In my opinion, there's no need to. He was just a shitty president. He was bad at his job.
Here's the thing. I mean, as a fucking Republican president, one, it's not... It has only recently become a trope that Republicans are fucking warmongers. I mean, they were, until the fucking 1930s, they were pretty anti-war. As a matter of fact, they led the charge for the Monroe Doctrine, for being, you know, a fucking North American hegemon, but definitely not being involved in foreign wars and shit like that. And all of a sudden, if you remember correctly, in 1999 and early 2000, or in mid-2000, Bush's campaign was all about, we're not going to be a nation-building organization, because that's one of the things that fucking Clinton had gotten hammered for bombing Iraq over and over and over again, trying to do all this fucking microaggression bullshit. And to juxtapose himself against that, Bush said X, Y, and Z. Well, clearly he was lying. And you can say that 9/11 changed the game, but there's no fucking reason that we ever went to Iraq. And frankly, there's no reason we went to Afghanistan with large force. We should have went in with special operators and murdered all the fucking Taliban people, not Al-Qaeda, Taliban, killed every single one of them. And just fucking went on about our business. Maybe spend some money there on schools like we should have done in the fucking 80s after the fucking wall fell. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But, or I'm sorry, after the Russians left Afghanistan. Who knows? But then, as a conservative, George Bush presided over the largest expansion of the federal government in history with the Department of Homeland Security. What the fuck? Government spending since that date has been out of fucking control, and it's because of George W. Bush. It's actually because of Dick Cheney, because he's sucking all those fucking warmongering, fucking war profiteering buddies' dicks, making himself a billionaire and making all them billionaires as well. That's what really happened. If you want to look back at all this shit, if you want to fucking talk about who's responsible for what in the state of this country right now, if you're a Republican, you need to look right in the fucking mirror and look at your voting record over the last 20 years, because it was you that did it. Period. It was fucking you. You voted for this asshole. And look, the left is not to blame. Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, all the leaders of that party voted for the Iraq War. Right. I think the only person in Congress that didn't was, I can't remember her name, it was the Oakland congresswoman.
Yeah, there was only a couple people who voted against
Barbara Lee, I think her name is. Yeah, I think, no, she was the only congressperson to vote. Some people abstained, but I think she was the only one to vote against it.
Gotcha.
At any rate, that was for the authorization of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, all this stuff that's happened, the fact that we've spent somewhere probably between $7 and $10 trillion on bullshit, lost all these people, and now we're spending even more money on VA stuff. That was all us. When I say us, I mean fucking people that lean to the right.
Right.
We allowed that to happen. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't start keep trying to fix it. But you need to have a little perspective, right? You need to fucking call shit what it is. You need to fucking be willing to admit when you're wrong and change immediately. Because if you're not, you're going to lose. And that's what's happening with the Democrats. They weren't willing in 2004. They got lucky with Obama because he was such an enigmatic character.
Right.
And he hit all the right marks for everybody to vote for him. But any other candidate, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or fucking Al Gore or fucking, who was that Lurch motherfucker?
Romney?
No. Secretary of State, Senator from Massachusetts before that. John something. He ran.
John Kerry.
Kerry, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The left never learned their lesson, is the point. Like, they didn't learn that all this fucking pearl clutching and progressivism and all this other bullshit, it does not fly in the national market. And that's an important lesson to learn, because this is what it teaches you. It teaches you that you're fucking wrong. It teaches you that you're wrong. And then you change and you become relevant again.
Right.
That's how that fucking works in politics.
Yeah.
Right? And they failed at doing that. And that's why they lost the last election and why they're going to lose this one. They're going to be sitting around wondering why. I mean, fucking Trump's an asshole. And fucking, he said this and he said I did this. He fucking whatever the fuck. And I just don't understand, man. Fucking move. It's because of you, asshole.
Yeah.
Just like Republicans need to admit that they fucked this country up between 2001 and 2009, the Dems have to realize that they're fucking this country up now.
Right.
Right. But that's the problem. If you can't, as a conservative or Republican or whomever you are, admit that you were fucked up back then you can't expect people to admit they're fucked up now and change.
Yeah. And like, for me personally, again, I vote right, obviously. And I was never excited about Bush. I don't look back at Bush as a great president. It doesn't really mean that much to me personally. The only thing that I think about Bush that is positive was 9/11.
Yeah,
and I remember he threw out the baseball and he was there at 9/11. But that, like, to me,
he was great after 9/11. By the way, so credit where credit's due. Like, that is the president's job, by the way.
Correct.
Is to be a figurehead.
Yep.
Right. The president makes a lot of decisions, really, but he doesn't make any decisions without his cabinet. Unless you're Trump, he does stuff against his cabinet as well all the time. And it actually kind of works out usually, which is weird. But, you know, typically speaking, the like in any leadership position, projecting strength and competence and empathy are very important traits for a president to have. You don't necessarily need to be a policy wonk. You don't need to understand. As long as somebody can explain something, you can understand it, you're a reasonable human being, then you could do fine at that. But he did a very good job of uniting the country afterwards.
Right? Yeah. And to me, if I'm looking back at Bush's presidency, it was probably the most positive moment of it. But the truth is I can't really name anything else besides that, me personally. The last thing I wanted to ask you about today was this Madden thing. Madden, look, everybody waits for Madden to come out. Obviously, you play video games. I think you play Madden.
Mm-hmm.
They brought Colin Kaepernick back to the game as a free agent quarterback, and they gave him an overall rating of an 81 in the game of Madden.
I've got a – hold on. Where is it?
He hasn't played in 4 years, right? Am I stupid? Am I fucking dumb to give him an 81% in Madden and he hasn't played in 4 years?
Their EA Sports released a statement about it. I'll read it for you. Hang on a sec.
Yeah.
God, get your fucking.
So it says, by the way, here, according to Bleacher Report, when Colin Kaepernick scores in the new Madden game, his signature celebration is a black power fist.
Oh, sweet. Well, I won't be buying that game then.
They've got it on screen right now. I will say this. These fucking video games are getting real goddamn realistic. Jesus Christ. Yeah, black power fist to the stands. It's got him in a Chicago Bears uniform.
Well, that's interesting. Here's what EA Sports had to say.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick is one of the top free agents in football. Nope. And a starting caliber quarterback. He hasn't played in 4 years.
No.
The team at EA Sports, along with millions of Madden NFL fans, want to see him back in our game. And then there's a bunch of other fluff bullshit, but neither one of those things are true. He's not a top free agent. Otherwise, he would be signed with a team because that's how that
Man.
Works.
Man, is there going to be a social justice mode on the controller where you can just pop in people like that? Because that's crazy to me. One, two, again, if you kneel in Madden, do you automatically win the Super Bowl? What happens in that? What happens in the game?
I don't know.
What are we doing here? The reason I wanted to chat about this is like I flipped on the NBA playoffs last night to watch the Lakers game. I'm sorry, the Clippers game against Denver. We had some money on that in Drinking Bros Sports. And is it just me or is every white person in sports, particularly in sports, overcompensating for this Black Lives Matter movement to the point where it's like everybody's trying to outdo each other, even to this of like to say that he's one of, like you just said, one of the best free agents available out there, and he has an 81%. No, the guy hasn't played in 4 years. I saw his practice scrimmage footage when he was auditioning.
Yeah,
I'm going to use hard air quotes on auditioning for NFL teams.
Yep,
a little bit ago, it was like a high school quarterback at that point. Like he clearly hasn't played in a very long time.
Right.
And would not be good at football these days.
Trevor Lawrence, quarterback for the Clemson Tigers, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably the number one pick in the draft.
He's definitely the number one pick in the draft. Unless he fucking dies before and between now and then.
Justin Fields gets to play.
No. He says, I'm not a civil rights activist or an activist in general. I just think we all carry a responsibility based on who you are and what your platform is. For the love of my teammates, friends, and family, everyone I know, I think it's part of my responsibility to try and help in any way I can. It's a very reasonable thing to say.
Yeah. By the way, he also put the hashtag our voice matters, which is important because he's saying our.
Yeah.
That is inclusive for everyone, not just one race or another, which I like. I'm surprised.
Yeah. So he says, I know there's a lot of eyes on me, critics, but also a lot of younger generation people looking up to me. So I'm conscious of that. I want to use my flat platform the right way to try to impact people. I'm not an activist of any sort, but I do think I have responsibility to promote equality. And I think everybody in general has a responsibility to promote equality, but it's more about what he's not seeing here and what he's not wearing. Like, he's not wearing BLM shit.
No.
And, but like, you can do both of these things. This is a very important point. You can be very supportive of the phrase and the idea of Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And I would say Black Lives Matter too is a more appropriate phrase. I've said that for years now, but, and still be against BLM, which is a violent organization. If they're not violent, they're certainly fucking apologists for the violence, right? And they're helping get these people out of jail so they can commit more crimes. They're also, you know, they lean heavily Marxist and all this other bullshit. So you can do both. And this is the problem I have with people like Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a fucking coward, right? He's either
another guy who is overcompensated for all of this shit.
He's either really, really, really stupid, which is not possible to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The ability to fucking understand complex defenses or read them and react to them that fast, you have to be a smart human being to do it. I don't think that's true. I think he's simply a coward. Like, he looked at the situation and said, I'm going to lose X, Y, and Z, whether it's respect to my teammates or money or clout or whatever the fuck it is. Or maybe he just didn't want to deal with it. And he fucking kowtowed and put the name of a fucking rapist on his hat, mm-hmm. right? So this is what Drew Brees should have done, by the way. The whole thing about I'm never going to be okay with kneeling, that's a very small statement. Why? Okay, tell me why. Well, it's because I have religious beliefs and this, this, and this. Or there's more appropriate ways to deal with this at this point, and we need to be beyond just the protest phase. We need to be doing things at this point. There's so many reasonable and nuanced conversations he could have had. He could have become a leader and tried to bring people back towards fucking unity and said, hey, I agree with you on X, Y, and Z, but the methods going on here are untenable for me, and I'm not going to fucking support it. You could have said that. You could have been a fucking leader and fucking called people out, and a bunch of people would have fucking rushed to your defense, black and white, both, because there's most black people say, by the way, we released a story like 3 weeks ago on the news, 81% want either the same amount or more cops in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
In black America. So this narrative that fucking all black people want this and all white people want this is not fucking true. It's not true. What people want is stability and equality for the most part. And I really appreciate what Lawrence had to say here, because he says, without saying it, I don't support the bullshit, but I support the movement in general. And that's a very important thing for somebody to do. And you would expect that out of somebody that's been a public figure for a long time and in the media for a long time, not a fucking 20-year-old.
Yeah.
So why can't 40-year-old fucking Drew Brees do it, but this fucking child can do it? It's embarrassing.
It is. And it's crazy to me. And unfortunately, look, Drew Brees leads the NFL all time in touchdown passes. I think he's up there in yards as well. He probably this year he will break every record there is for quarterbacks in the NFL. Unfortunately, I think all of that will be overshadowed by how he handled this moment. And more importantly, for coming out and saying anything. You know what, man? If you're worried about what people are going to think and what you should or shouldn't say, then you shouldn't say anything and just keep it to yourself until after this is all over. You're right. With Trevor Lawrence, this guy has handled this with dignity and grace, and he's 20 years old, for Christ's sakes. Like, it's amazing. And you're right. Everything he has done thus far, him and Justin Fields from Ohio State, and I know they're friends, and I'm sure they talk about this every night and what they're going to say and do and X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Has been amazing. How has it been the college kids that have figured it out versus the NFL stars?
Yeah, he continued that through all this, we've tried to just say, I know we have some differences, but let's try to find some things we all agree on. And how do we change from there? Right. He's not talking about reacting to people's feelings. He's talking about action.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These are fucking action verbs that he's using. I think it's powerful that we've been able to make decisions pretty quickly as a group. And when he says we, I think he's referring to college football, right? Mm-hmm. From all over the country to make things happen. That's where you have to start, is to find common ground and understand people's differences, but leave room for people to learn and change their mind and say, I thought this way before, but I've kind of changed my mind. That is such a brilliant and emotionally mature thing to say. It really is, because if you've ever been in an argument before, we all feel it, right? And you've seen people do it, and you felt it yourself. there's a point in the argument where you win or you lose. And if you lose, you're just hoping for an out. Like,
yeah.
The other person, like, just give me an opportunity to say, you know what, you're probably right. That's all they need. All you need to do is give people an opportunity to say, you know what, I was wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep fucking flipping their goddamn tables over and setting their fucking businesses on fire, you're never going to fucking change shit. You stupid motherfucker. Like, yeah. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
And it's happening night after night in all of these cities. Rochester was the latest that it happened in. And by the way, the more and more of these videos keep going viral like this, the more and more you're losing voters on November 3rd. But it is crazy, though, to see that the college kids have been more mature about this and seem to have figured it out before the NFL players. I also want to give a shout out to Nick Saban. Nick Saban, as a coach, said, look, man, if you guys want to protest, let me lead you as a team. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure you're not in harm's way. You're not doing anything fucking stupid. And we're all together as one versus some muddied message where one of you is going out without the other and everything else. I will lead you. We will go in this march together. We will get our voices heard. And then after that, let's go back and play football.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any other coach do that in the NCAA besides Nick Saban, and Roll Tide for that one. This is the point in the show where we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. This one was submitted by Joel Bear from Massachusetts, as we like to call it. He's been a member of Drinking Bros for 9 months, and he's nominating Jake Waters Maciel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That's Maciel. Reason for the nomination is Jake is a second-class petty officer, E5, in the Coast Guard. A hard worker and a natural-born leader, he puts his heart and soul into the service, whether he's turning wrenches on motor life boats or discharging his duties as a maritime law enforcement officer protecting the New Bedford fishing fleet, operating search and rescue in the most extreme and unforgiving New England seas, volunteering off duty as a firefighter or fishing and day drinking on the beach. He's my go-to guy, and I trust him with my life. He introduced me to the podcast, and I couldn't imagine anyone more deserving to have a glass raised in their honor from the Drinking Bros community. Cheers. That's fucking awesome. That's awesome. Every time we read these, and again, we read these live on air, you can submit your nomination at drinkingbros.com. There's a nomination form there. And also, you can get some butter soft teas for Drinking Bros for $19.99.
Yeah, Jared and I, by the way, just updated our internal art folders with all the new merch that's going to be coming out soon. Yeah. So that's exciting.
It's awesome, man. And I know we don't promote it a lot, but we will because you guys have asked for it. And all your Drinking Bro of the Week submissions go through there. We read them live on air. And so therefore, we never know what they are, if they're happy or sad or whatever. It's nice to read a happy one where, you know, usually it's death and destruction. And this one's just, hey, man, I trust this guy with my life. And he's a fucking rad dude. You can nominate anything. Somebody nominated their dick the other day, which I look, obviously that's close to my heart. Like I do that every day in the mirror. So you can do whatever you want. Go to drinkingbros.com today for your submissions for Drinking Bro of the Week. And get some butter soft teas while you're there for $19.99. D'Anthony, looking forward to the fake news tomorrow. We got a crazy couple weeks coming up, man.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, homeboy.
It is, but this is going out Wednesday.
Is it really?
It is.
What's going on tonight?
Get the sports show tonight.
Oh shit!
Get the sports show tonight.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're recording a day in advance because we're going to Rob O'Neill's foundation charity golf outing next week in Nashville, Tennessee. I think Kid Rock, a bunch of people are going to be there. We will all be there. We're going to try to do some live shows from the golf course. I don't know how fucked up we will be for those shows.
Right.
But it'll be on a on another level. And then look for a bonus show on Saturday as we go live from Whiskey Tango Foxtrot in downtown Austin for the kickoff of the college football season. So you'll have a bonus episode over the weekend. We got a lot of crazy shit coming up, man. And we're amped about it. We're going to go every day. I know we just started this from the quarantine, but Dan and I have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Plenty of guests have called in and said they want to be on the show. So I think it's just going to continue, man. We've been going Monday through Saturday. I don't see a reason to stop at this point. And we're working on some other shows for the fall. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone. We'll be right back.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.